Hello, everybody, and welcome to episode 31 of Magic FM. I'm Gabby Sparks, one of your hosts today, and I'm joined by Mashi Scanlon, as always, and special guest for this week, Luis Godvarias. Welcome, Luis. Welcome, Mashi.
Hey,
hey. Hey, everyone. Special.
Kind of co-host, moderately special guest.
Look, I'm just going to say you guys made it about 27 episodes more than I expected. So,
wow, that is bad beats.
Yeah.
Thank you. We appreciate the never-ending support, Luis, and confidence.
Of course. Truly, yeah.
So we actually wanted Luis on this episode for a very specific reason, and it's because we're going to be having a very interesting conversation, something that's been a very big discussion in the Magic community over the past week, and it's about companions. We have a lot to get into it. There's lots of changes coming. But before we get into that, let's do a shout out for the sponsor of the podcast, channelfireball.com. We have a lot of cool stuff coming up, actually. The Buylist Bonanza, which we've talked about multiple times on the stream before. Mashi, do you have a list of the prices right now? Do you know them offhand? Because basically the way the Bonanza works is go ahead, Mash.
You want to submit week over week, and for each $10 in cash value you submit, you basically get kind of a chit into the pool. And every week we give away, Luis might know this too because he's on the same marketing team I am. We give away one of the secret layer, the Fetchland secret layer. What's it called? Ultimate something or other.
Masters.
It's not Ultimate Masters. It's, I don't know. Is it Ultimate Masters? No.
Is this a quiz? Luis is like, I know this, and you fools don't.
Luis can sit here. If you're listening to this on the podcast, you're not watching the video. Luis gets to sit here like this sage-like silence, like he's quizzing us, slowly looking up everything so he's got it in front of him. I don't know if he had left off his head, but we have the secret layer fetches. Every week we're giving away one of those. I believe we're also giving away a box of Ikoria and a box of M21 for the weekly.
Yeah, so every week there are five winners that give away the things that you mentioned, and then we're doing a grand prize drawing, which has a Black Lotus, 40 Shocklands, case 40. Of Ikoria, case of Magic 2021. So a lot of cool stuff up for offer.
And it's a playset of shocks. You're not going to get 40 Hollowed Fountains. That would be awful.
Yeah, you know. Well, Mosh is like that card's garbage. You just want Stomping Grounds forever and ever.
I think Hollow Fountain might be my least favorite. Yeah. I'd rather go Dimir than Azorius, so yes, and blue is not my jam. So, but yeah, I mean, it's great, you know, submit to the Buylist Bonanza. It was a lot of fun last time. And it's just a total free roll in terms of getting something extra if you're going to sell cards anyway. It's not like, you know, prices didn't change or anything, you know, it's the same buy list and we just turned it on and we added prizes to it so that you could get something extra out of it. And I already told the story last time about how we had one promotion going and Channel Fireball president CEO John Sasso was like, no, we're not giving away enough. Literally, I'm not making fun of it. Well, it's not a caricature.
John.
Right. He's just like, we should be giving away more. And it's like, but you approved this like last week. It's like, no. I want to give away more. So that's how we ended up here.
That's pretty sweet. So if you're already thinking about selling some cards, just this is a really, really, it's a free roll. That is a really good way to think about it. There's a second thing going on, which we have actually talked about on the podcast also, and it's the CFP Showdowns, the CFP Pro Showdown. That's the tournament that happened this last week, actually. And Mashi, did you play?
I did not play it. I woke up around 9:30 and I was like, okay, I guess it's not happening.
And was it the day to sleep in? It was a sleep in day.
It was my sleep. Speaking of free roll though, it is free if you are a member of CFP Pro. And I dipped in and out of the Discord, but I heard it was just an awesome experience. Like everyone surrounding that experience, from casters to players to Luis here, who was the final end boss, has had nothing but not just like, oh, it was pretty good, but kind of like effusively positive things to say. And I know that sounds like we're patting ourselves on the back, but it had a feel to it that I think was just awesome.
I think
people loved the event. Luis was the end boss. So the way the tournament worked is you would you would play the tournament with all the other people who joined from CFB Pro. And then if you won the tournament, you got a chance to face off against Luis. And so Luis was defending, and it was a double up. So you could, if you beat Luis, you would 2x your prize. Your prize was $1,000, so you could get $2,000 in store.
Well, the first place prize was $300, the total prize.
Sorry, the total prize was $1,000.
Yeah.
But it was a double up for the person who was playing for that. Luis defended store credit this time.
He brought honor to this dojo.
Yeah. And the next end boss is actually going to be Reed. So people are making it, you guys are making it difficult for people to get that store credit because you're putting in some real good end bosses.
You want to tell them what we're doing, Luis? How we're changing it this time?
Yeah. So, you know, last time I'm sure everyone was rooting for me because, you know, the truth, justice.
Excuse me?
CFB way. No, but next time, you're actually going to have even more reason to root for whoever's playing against Reed, because if they defeat Reed, we're actually doubling the prizes of the whole top eight.
Oh, baby.
You got a lot of pressure
on you.
That's
really cool.
So your champion, whoever won the tournament, faces off against Reed to see if he can actually, you know, if Reed can defend all of the prizes, including yours, which will double if if you're someone who makes it to the top eight but doesn't win.
That's a really cool way to like root for the winner. Like that also gets people invested in rooting for the winner, which is pretty sweet.
And Reed was the one who immediately, because remember when we announced the CFB Pro Tournament, we did not announce that Luis was the end boss. We said that a member of Team CFB would do it. And Reed was the first person to throw his hat in. So he wants this. He
wants to do it. I also love the Huey beat where he was like, some end bosses are harder than others.
Yes.
He was throwing some nice shade. I was into it.
So June 27th.
Yeah.
Okay.
So it's going down on June 27th. So now you have some time to read about Standard and prepare. And if you're signed up to CFB Pro, you can, you know, learn about Standard and get ready for the next showdown.
We've been talking about this all day in our kind of internal meetings, but we have everybody, the whole team is basically on deck waiting to see what changes in Standard on Monday. And we're going to talk about it, you know, upcoming. One of the meteor topic here is the Wizards announcement on Monday. What do we think is going to get banned, and what do we think is going to happen to Companion? I think no matter what, there's going to be an inevitable effect on Standard, and all of the contributors for CFB Pro, they're just waiting for it. And as soon as we get word, boom, we're going to start making content and get some great, like, fresh takes on the new Standard on CFB Pro. So, you know, I've already said this. I always hate praising Luis when he's on there, but I said this on the Monday meta.
What are you doing, Mosh?
This is actually really true. I've read the Team of Wreck one. I skimmed it once, but I've read the deep dive on Luca Fires, I think, three times now. And I don't mean like I just read, like I've read it and read it and read it.
You were dissecting time, it.
Yeah, it gets me thinking more and more. And I just think to myself, if I was playing this deck, this is just like, this is an invaluable piece of information. Like that, and that's not, I'm not trying to sell CFB Pro. I'm not trying to blow up Luis here. It's just a very well crafted, you know, deck guide where it answers so much about, it has examples about how you play lands and where you want to sequence things. And that's not just, okay, in this exact scenario, it's how you want to approach the philosophy of playing that deck, how you're positioned in given situations. And to me, if I were still, you know, a grinder trying to get better at Magic and up my game, it's the dream content. So I strongly recommend you do that. We're going to get more of those. Now we're kind of waiting. Like, we can't do the next deep dive till we know what Standard's like.
You know, both Huey and me were kind of like kicking around some ideas. Like, Huey's got the cycling one he's kind of working on. But until the Monday announcement, which is one of the drawbacks of announcing an announcement, until the Monday announcement, it's kind of lame duck. Like, you don't really want to invest a lot of time into something when you know it could change, the world could change drastically on Monday.
It's a little bit like the Arena Open right now, where people are saying, oh, I don't really want to play in the lame duck tournament. I know the meta's going to change on Monday. I don't know if I really want to play in this tournament.
Are you guys playing? You guys aren't playing. I'm playing.
I'm going to play, I think.
Are you going to do it?
I'm going to do one run of it. And like, if it goes great, great. And if it doesn't, I'll just move on with my Saturday. Like, I did want to, because I did want to do the CFB Pro Showdown. We ended up going hiking that morning. So,
I saw.
Yeah, so I was really happy to go hiking. That was actually very fun. But I did get a little bit of FOMO. It's just that was the only time window in the entire weekend where it worked to go hiking. So I chose hiking over playing the tournament, which I think was a good idea.
I think it's the right choice.
Yeah. I got some exercise and nice sun, and Julie got a nice walk, you know.
So So do you know your deck yet though? Mono red Obosh?
No, I have to figure that out still. But I'll figure something out and then we'll see how it goes. And I'll give some updates. We'll see.
Yeah, you have to let us know next week.
Yeah, I will. So before we get to the meat of the episode, I just did want to do a quick shout out for Dr. Sleep 237, who was the winner of the year of CFB Pro for the 100K celebration / giveaway that we did last week. So thank you again, Dr. Sleep 237, for listening to the podcast, for all your support. We really hope you enjoy the year of CFB Pro. And to anybody else who tweeted at us or retweeted the tweet or engaged with us in social media in any other way, shape, or form, or send us emails. We really, really appreciate everything. Gosh. We see everything. We are very appreciative.
We got one of the best emails ever.
Yeah, it was so sweet. I still haven't responded to that email. Actually, need to.
We should do that.
Yeah.
Yeah, we totally need to.
But we really felt the love. So thank you so much for the 100K downloads. It was really, truly awesome. All right. Yeah. We got through all the stuffs. Are you ready, gentlemen? We brought Luis on today because we want his expertise on something very important. Very importante. There was an announcement that Wizards tweeted out on... let me pull it up real quick. On May 26th, it reads as follows. On Monday 6-1, there will be an update to the banned and restricted list impacting the standard and historic formats that will also address the companion mechanic. And then as a follow-up to that announcement, on Wednesdays, if you're familiar with this, Wizards does these like streams from the office, which is kind of happening from people's homes right now. But they do like streams where they do announcements and news and different things like that. And today they had Steve and Blake playing Chandelar, the like 1997 RPG, which is
really
sweet. I really enjoyed it. They're just playing old school Chandelar. But in the stream, Blake basically confirmed that the companion mechanic will be changed. Now, this is really important because people were speculating things all the way from, are they going to ban everything in companions, all the way to, are they going to change the way the mechanic works? What are they going to do? Blake saying that the companion mechanic will change basically confirms that. So we can use that as a starting point for this discussion. All right, gentlemen, I guess I'll start with Luis. Luis, what do you think is going to happen next Monday?
There's a lot of things that could happen. So it's kind of funny to me. My confidence in predicting what they're going to do is lowered by the fact that they printed this to begin with. Like, it makes me less confident I can predict their actions because I'm surprised that Companion went out the way it did. But it did. And I am glad that it looks like they're going to take some action because I think they need to. We've already seen Luris and Zerda both get banned in older formats, and then quite a few reasons like to ban these cards in from standard on down. What I think is going to happen, I think there's a couple options. One is the most plausible and I think cleanest option to me, which is a huge power level hit, is if you start the game with a companion, you then are, it's like you took a mulligan. You look at your opening hand and you put a card back and then you put the companion into your hand, or you leave it in the companion zone, doesn't matter. But you would basically be forced to put a card from your opening hand back, which is replaced by the companion. The main reason not to do that is that's a huge hit to the playability. Like, Mono Red would not play Obosh anymore. Mono Red doesn't want to open with a 5-drop in its opening hand at the cost of one of its cards. Very few decks would play the companions, because taking away the card wholesale is a really, really big hit. But it's also fairly clean. You're not changing really how the mechanic works as much. Like, you're changing how the mechanic works in the sense that you're down a card, but you're not really changing the spirit of the mechanic of your deck met these restrictions. You always have access to this card. Another one could be, you pay 3 mana to put a companion into your hand, or you pay 2 mana or 4 mana or whatever the cost ends up being. That one is a nerf, but it also affects the more expensive companions a little bit more, just because they're already expensive, so it's more of a cost. But one of the things that mechanic does, or that change would do, is it's adding a lot of text. I mean, no matter what case, you're adding text that's not there. And they've never done power level errata before, so I'm really curious to see how this goes. I think if you did that, you'd have to ban fires, though, because it would still be a joke with Fires of Invention that you had to spend mana to put the companion into your hand when Fires lets you play it for free.
Do you think there's a world where Fires doesn't get banned tomorrow on Monday? Just straight up.
Oh yeah, there's a world where Fires doesn't get banned. I think it is likely to get banned, but clearly there's you're like above 90% sure.
Yeah, I think Fires is out. Agent of Treachery, I think, might survive.
Above 90%. If you'll give me 10-1, I'll take that.
Make it interesting, baby.
So, okay, look, here. This is a personal philosophy of mine. It doesn't always apply, but Masha, you've seen me use this on you all the time.
I know.
You can test how certain someone is by asking if they want to bet on it, if they want to put stakes on it.
Because as soon as they start cowering away, you're like, you weren't so sure, were you?
10-1 is one of those, fine, I'll put 100 on it. I'm like, no, the pain is too great there, you know? 10-1. I think, I can't see. I really think Fires is done.
Yeah. And it's fine to say that and have somewhere between 60 to 95% confidence. You're not, you know, sure where in that range or whatever it lies.
Well, part of my hesitancy here is I think that it's a no-brainer for it to be banned. I've thought that about cards before and been wrong. Like, woken up on Monday, be like, wait, they didn't ban cat? Yeah.
You know, that's what I'm saying with the lower confidence is like, I just don't. Yeah. I mean, when you get Oko, when you get Companions, when you get Astrolabe and Fires and Hogak, it makes it a little harder for me to predict because it's hard for me to get in the mindset of like, hey, these cards are okay.
Would you so you were saying pay X amount to return a companion to your hand? Would that have to be at sorcery speed?
I think it would play better if it was sorcery. Yeah.
Yeah. So this was part of. It was a little bit like got kind of spread around as a potential rumor of what they could do to fix it. And the idea would be, for those who listening who maybe don't know like how this would work, it would be your companion's in your companion zone, and it would have text like pay three mana of generic, it doesn't matter. And you will basically tutor this card from your sideboard into your hand. And then the regular magic rules apply, so you can't like tutor it when you have 7 cards in hand. You'd have to have 6. So this was getting floated around as a potential way to fix it because it doesn't actually change the like text box of companion stuff. But based on what Blake was saying, I kind of feel like that's less likely to be the case. It doesn't... I feel like they might just change the way the mechanic works as opposed to like making you pay a tax for it. I'm not sure.
Yeah, I mean, those are all changing the way the mechanic works one way or another, I think. Right, I don't know what else they could do besides a blanket ban of, hey, we're going to ban all the companions. But the wording of what Blake said and of what the original tweet makes me think that they're not just going to ban all the companions and move on. They're going to change the way the companion mechanic works.
Blake said, I don't remember exactly like word by word, but he basically said the companion mechanic is going to change, which to me implies it's not like the companion mechanic is going to get banned. Like it feels like it's going to change, right?
I wonder two things. One, I am completely on board. Like they are not banning companions. I feel very strongly that that's what this is saying. And I wonder if that's because we have companions in M21 or in Zendikar in future sets where they're like, okay, we need to address the mechanic now. We need to fix it now for future sets. And I have no idea if that's what's at play, but there is a world where it's like, okay, if we don't change the mechanic now, but we have future companions coming, we're going to have the same problem when the next set comes out. So I wonder if that's what that's the situation they're in, where it's like, we need to fix this mechanic. Otherwise we're dealing with this every set. And, you know, doing ad hoc fixes per set or banning, you know, this card and that card per set is really, really awful for the game.
Yeah, I'm trying to wonder, besides putting a card back, besides paying some amount of mana, which could range, again, from like 2 to 4 would be my guesses. I would be surprised if it was 1, that's too cheap. And if it's surprised if more than 4, I think even at 4, it's probably a little too expensive if you want these cards to still show up. Mm-hmm. Besides those things, there's not a ton of different like simple or intuitive changes. Like, could do something like to play the companion, you have to discard a card. That's like a lot more powerful than put a card back, because by the time you want to cast Yorion, discarding a card is a trivial.
Yeah,
cost.
You just taught you just been a land.
Putting one of your hand cards down is a much bigger cost. So my instinct is that having to discard a card to cast a companion is just not enough of a cost. And having to discard more than one card is kind of nonsensical, because at that point, like, What is the, like trading one card for a companion makes sense. It's a one for one. Once, if you're asking you to discard two cards, that doesn't really make sense to me.
So here's a question. Do you think it's going to be, cause this is we were kicking this idea around with my stream. Do you think it's going to be open seven, put one back, and then the companion stays in the companion zone? Or is there a chance it would be like you just open six, which is much worse than opening seven and putting one back?
I think open seven, put one back is more likely, because open seven, put one back is still a pretty big drawback. Like, it takes all the free roll companions out of the equation for sure. Like, none of the, like, oh, the blue white deck's playing Kahira because it has no creatures or anything like that. And it even, I think, makes it so Obosh is no longer good enough. Lurrus would probably still be good enough because Lurrus is a really messed up card. And Yorion, I think, would still be close to good enough, but I don't know. That's tough because those decks need all their resources. So that's a huge nerf. Like, the other thing is, I don't really know what their goal is. I mean, I'm sure that their ultimate goal is to have these cards be powerful, played, popular, but not too much. Right now, they're way too much. They're going to have to do something. Whether you want to dial it back a lot to begin with is the question, because once you get to the point where you have to ban a card, it's pretty tough, right? You really don't want to do that, and they've had to do this a lot recently. But what might be worse is too soft a touch, because then you have to go back to the well a month later, and that's an even worse look. So that, I think, implies that the reaction here is going to be a little more conservative, closer to put a card back than pay two mana, because paying two mana is good, is a nerf, but not a huge nerf.
Sure.
So you've said this, it's too much, and I guess I agree with you. Yeah, I agree. There's too many companions, but I wonder if that's what, I mean, is this what the goal was, right?
I don't think so. Otherwise, they wouldn't be banning.
Well, because like at one point, Forsyth said, we wanted this whole Once Upon a Time thing. We wanted all the games of Magic to start with Once Upon a Time, because that was so thematically, part of Throne of Eldraine, where if the first spell played during a game was Once Upon a Time. Well,
I
don't think
he meant he wanted every game to start with it. I think he just meant that it was flavorful to start with it.
But I think he did mean they wanted a lot of games to start that.
Right.
Not, and so you have a mechanic like Companion. I think introducing that means you want a majority of the decks in that standard to use Companions. I think that's what having a mechanic like that means. You want that mechanic to be interactive.
I don't think necessarily majority. That's always a little difficult. Here's the balance. Is you want your new set to have the cards that matter and impact the different formats, mm-hmm. and people to play with them and buy your boosters and say, like, hey, I really want this new card because it goes well in my deck. You don't really want 90% of decks playing companions, or 80% or 70%. I don't even know if you want 60% of all decks playing companions, because that's a lot of the same card seeing play over and over again. Maybe if you could spread it out among like six or seven companions, yes, that would be ideal. I think, sure. If you told me, hey, you were like, if I was, at Wizards and you're like, hey, you're going to release Companion, 60% of decks are going to play Companions, but it's going to be split up among the six most popular companions in roughly equal to like, 10 to 20%, 5 to 10%, whatever. I'd be pretty happy. I'd be like, okay, we really did it. Yeah. But when you say like 60% of decks are going to play Companions, but they're all going to be Yorion with a little bit of Obosh, then you're like, that's not sounding very good.
That sounds kind of bad.
And then when it's like, 80% of decks are playing companions, then, and it's all Yorion with some Obosh, and then it's just like, why did we do this?
What have we done? I will say, we talked about this on an earlier episode, and I think I was saying the problem isn't companions; it's not enough companions. If there were many, many different companions that were playable, we'd see enough diversity, I think, in the metagame that we'd be happy with it. I think. That's the problem.
I don't agree with that, but
really, I don't think it's inherently a bad mechanic. I don't. I think it's fine. It changes a lot of Magic. Do I prefer Magic without companions? Sure, but I'm an old player. So, but I think that one of the biggest issues we have is it's just mono Yorion.
Do I think it's inherently an unprintable mechanic? No, but I think it's a mechanic that it way more often will go wrong than go right as it's currently printed.
Yeah,
difficult to nail it.
Kind of disagreed on this when we talked about it in a different episode, where I was saying I think it's a good mechanic, not even necessarily like a good mechanic. I think it's a fine mechanic that is just poorly executed. And because it is poorly executed, the cards that are too good are just way too strong. So I don't know that adding more companions would fix it necessarily.
Well, I think it's a bad mechanic executed.
Oh, sure.
We'll find. Well, I do think we will find out. I just have.
That's not to say that there's not a lot of companion adjacent mechanics that could be good, or that even with the current companion rules, you could design companions that get there. Like, I think that Lutri, for example, is a pretty good design, and I've been playing Lutri in Vintage, and I think it's pretty sweet. I think it works out. But we're not talking about a lot of companions here. Kahir is pretty cool. You know,
we're naming just like three, maybe, right?
Right. No. So as they currently stand, like, I think like Yorion is just absurdly bad. You know, the funny thing is, I actually thought Yorion was one of the good guys for like the first week. And mm-hmm. then
that was when Garuda was,
you sweet Garuda was the bad guy.
Yeah, it was like, week, oh, Garuda, that was a big one. But everyone's Yorion's going to be sweet. Mm-hmm. And it's just like, no, Yorion's not sweet. It's just you cast this and you draw a card for every permanent you've played. Cool.
Yeah.
So I have a big question, because we've been talking about mostly Constructed right now and what it would take to make Companion be more playable in Constructed, I guess. We haven't really talked about how
less
this is
playable.
Well, yes, less, more fun, you knew exactly fun, what I you knew funnable. What I meant.
I knew exactly.
You knew exactly what I meant. Don't give me that. But how is this just going to really, really mess up Companion for Limited? Because there's a chance that right now, it feels like some of the companions were barely getting there, and some of them are just like flat out unplayable and Limited.
I actually think the companions hit perfectly for Limited. Like,
I think you keep them the same. Yeah.
Well, no, you can't do that.
No, because if you're doing a rules change, like open seven, put one back, there's no way they would make them different.
If they're going to make a fundamental rules change to companion, they should apply it in Limited.
They have to change the mechanic.
Right. Yeah, so that's what I'm saying. Is this just going to trash all companion decks? Is it just going to be like, oh, I opened a Yorion. Of course, I'm going to play it as just a normal card. Like every card is going to just have minus the companion text.
It's going to make the companions, depending on how they go about it. But I think most of the paths that I could imagine will make the companions substantially worse and Limited. And that's unfortunate. That's a cost. But
yeah,
the effect they're having on constructed is so negative that I think making them a little worse or less fun and Limited is just part of what you have to do.
Sure. Yeah, I mean,
you still have that would still not be as bad as printing Xenoflared on common, but here we are.
Yeah, that's true. God, I oh man. Yeah, don't get me started on that deck.
Much is going to lose it.
Do we have any history of banning a mechanic? Or I shouldn't say banning a mechanic. I don't think I've ever banned a mechanic, nor have they ever altered a mechanic.
I don't think this has ever happened. Yeah. This is a first for sure, which is part of the reason why this is a really interesting conversation, because I think everybody saw that and they were like, whoa, this is unprecedented. We've never seen, you know, like 2 years ago, we hadn't seen a standard ban in a really, really long time. And now we're just kind of like the floodgates are open and you get a ban and that card also gets banned and this mechanic gets eroded or, you know, like
I mean, that's part of the costs is like there weren't standard bans for like almost a decade. And then once the dominoes started falling, it felt like it just accelerated. And it also puts the public in a kind of awkward spot where people's first reaction is to just call for a ban. Like, they should ban Mutavault and Pioneer. And it's just like, what are you even talking about? Like, why, why is that? But we've been taught, you know, especially over the last couple of years, that when you see something too much and you don't like it, ban, because that's the unfortunate spot we're in.
Do you think that this is, let's set aside any concerns that I have. I don't know if you guys share them, that there's future companions. So you don't need to address the mechanic. So that being said, do you think it'd be better to just maybe ban like Yorion, possibly Obosh, and be on our way?
Well, in the bandwagon episode that's never going to be released, the one that's in the vault, because Matt Nass and I recorded it for the first time in literally 3 months, and then they put out this announcement, and we just have to redo this.
Which is the second time, by the way. That's the second time that's happened when we've recorded the bandwagon.
What I said there was assuming that changing the mechanic is off the table. Assuming that there's no knobs there, I would ban Yorion in standard, and I think Yorion in standard, and then Yorion and Lurrus in pioneer, and Yorion and Lurrus in modern. But I would not have banned Lurrus or Obosh in standard. I think that they're powerful, but I think they're okay. Like
I think they're fine too.
Like where Obosh is hitting in mono red feels to me like good for a headliner. It's one of the best cards in the deck. It really drives the archetype. One of the strongest cards in the set, but it doesn't feel out of bounds. Yorion does does feel out of bounds.
When you play against the Yorion, like the Luke of Fires deck, and you're playing against the Yorion deck, it just kind of feels like you're not even really playing Magic. You're like, what is even happening? Like it really plays on a very unfair axis, and I think that's part of the reason why it also makes sense to ban something like that versus like Obosh. I don't really know how you say it.
Against Yorion decks of really all stripes, if they ever untap with like more than one permanent play, you just almost always lose is what it feels like. And that's just not a very fun game of Magic.
Yeah. I mean, I will say all of the Yorion decks are difficult to play. And so one of the things you're almost counting on is a misplay by your opponent. So if you have a very skilled opponent, because I play Cycling all the time. So I'm just relying on them to make a mistake, get ahead, and then just, okay, slip up so I can flare you out. That's almost always the game plan. And if you play well, you don't have to say perfectly, but if you play well, that's not going to happen in the game. You know, it's it's a fait accompli. So I agree with you. It's interesting though, because you wonder if banning Yorion would be enough. Do you think that would set standard okay?
No,
Fires is still pretty crazy.
We haven't even really delved into what else is going on.
Go ahead, Luis.
Oh, no, go ahead.
I was just going to say, I wanted to ask one last question about Companion to you guys before we go into the what do we think is going to get banned conversation, which I think we're about to veer into. So before we get into that, what do you think if they change the mechanic? Do you all think that there's a chance that the banned cards make a comeback, or are those cards just daubs?
Oh, they're not going to unban anything. Like that, unbanning things is generally a bad idea because you ban it for a reason, and if you unban it and it's still a problem, you look just extremely foolish.
I know it looks clown shoes if that happens, but I just feel like if the mechanic does get really, really nerfed, like, is there a chance that maybe some of those cards that did get banned before maybe get to see the light of day? I don't think it's likely. I just wanted to see what you thought.
Yeah, I mean, it's not 0%, but it's not super likely.
Do you think? What about the other way? Do you think there's a chance they nerf the companion mechanic and still ban Yorion on top of that for standard?
That would be a little weird to me, because if you're going to nerf the mechanic to the point where you think these cards are acceptable, you're also banning Yorion, like, how far did that nerf go? Because what did it accomplish if you still had to ban Yorion?
Well, because I think there's more you have to do to nerf the mechanic in this format in standard to harm Yorion than, like for instance, Fires is a great example. Like, if you have the tax, if your decision is we're going to put a tax on Companion, that's going to be what we're going to do. That doesn't do anything to Yorion. Forget it.
Well, I would just ban Fires at that point. Because to be clear, I agree with you, Mashi. I think Fires is above 50% to get banned. Do I think it's above 70%? No, I don't think that's where our confidence levels are different.
Wow.
So, you know, I think there might be an arrangement here that we could come to. perhaps, you know, look at our two different confidence levels I think that to get into the more general subject of bans, let's imagine a world where companions get a little weaker but are not unplayable. And let's say a tax of 2 mana. Because I think 2 mana is like it's a real nerf, but it's also like, hey, we still kind of expect these to see a good amount of play. Mm-hmm. Like, I think that mono red Obosh would still play Obosh if it had to spend 2 mana to get Obosh. I don't know, but it might. I think the Lurrus decks would tend to be okay with that, even though it's a big hit. But again, companions, remember, they don't ask insane things of you. Like, the Cycling deck would be constructed the way it is whether it had Lurrus or not. There's not a whole lot of cards that's dying to play, you know. The Ensoul Artifact decks that play Lurrus in Pioneer are also not really costing themselves anything, so they would still play them.
But what about like the Yorion deck in standard? Like, would it even how much of a nerf is it to pay 2? It doesn't feel like it's that much.
Well, I think first of all, you have to assume Fires is banned if that's the nerf.
If that's true, then that's a huge nerf to the deck. Yeah. Like, that just implodes the deck.
Yeah. Right. Well, thinking through it, I feel like 2 additional mana is actually not going to be enough. Because
I don't think it is.
Yeah, that's because what I was going
to
say.
There's a lot of decks that can, at some point, can just spend 2 mana to do this. 3 is a pretty big number, though. 3 is a significant amount. Because at 3, you're really costing yourself the ability to make another play in the same turn. Or you're asking you to take turn 3 off, which
getting
is a
your
lot
companion is your
three.
Second play that turn. Like, that's what would happen. It's that your first place is get the companion, and then you can make another play. But usually, yeah, like the play of like play Lurus and buy back my two drop, like you wouldn't be able to do that anymore, and that is a real nerve.
Yeah, that takes a lot away from these. But anyway, let's say in the world where companions are nerfed by two mana, I would expect Fires to get banned. I don't know about Luka / Agent of Treachery so much. I think that you should probably take one of these pieces out, but it's kind of weird. You take the Enabler out, which is Luka, or in some cases Winota, which another deck cheating Agent of Treachery out, yeah, or do you just kind of decapitate both of these decks and just take out Agent of Treachery? Because Agent of Treachery, I'm sure, was like designed and made as like, hey, look, this is a card the ramp decks can play to get an advantage in the ramp mirrors. You pay 7, but you steal their best thing. You take mm-hmm. their Nissa or their big Krasis or whatever. The way it's actually being used is all these decks just cheating it out on turn 4 or 5. And honestly, like, you really don't want Agent of Treachery to be a very played card. Getting hit by Agent on turn 4 or 5, or on sometimes multiple times on turn 5, super unfun.
Yeah.
It's miserable.
Like the pantheon of unfun things that happen in Magic are like getting your cards countered, stolen, discarded, getting your lands blown up. And this does like a number of these things.
Somehow. Yep.
It does them all, actually. It's like,
yeah, it's like, great, you resolved it. Now I'm going to take it.
Yeah, now I'm going to take your land, and now I'm going to take your other land.
Yeah. I think going back to this tax idea, though, I haven't played a lot of Yorion decks. Like I have Bant put together, but I've only played it a few times. It feels like the taxing companions hurts Yorion less than, say, your Obosh and your Luruses. Like the aggro decks are the ones that are going to stumble more trying to get through that than the kind of the big Yorion decks. That's been my experience. I've always had plenty. I mean, you have so much ramp in Bant, so maybe that's just me.
That's true in that they're playing the control decks are playing a game where they're more likely to be able to spend a little bit more mana on this effect. But on the other hand, I think adding Lurus or Obosh to an aggro deck is, let's set Yorion aside a little bit, because Yorion and Fires is just a gross interaction. That's like the whole thing. But like, let's look at Yorion in like the Bant Yorion deck, sort of, or the modern like Yorion mm-hmm. deck that are just trying to get value off of it and aren't really like cheating it into play. I think that aggro decks getting protected against flood is more valuable, because control decks already kind of naturally are protected against mana flood because they're playing all these card filtering and card drawn expensive cards. They're going to do fine on that axis. The aggro decks getting a 5-drop when you flood out or your hand is depleted is just so amazing. So I think in general, the companions are actually a little better for aggro decks in a lot of ways, but the adding the mana tax to it makes it a little more complicated for sure.
Mm-hmm.
There's kind of another piece to tutoring the companions to your hand, which is right now part of the thing that's frustrating about companions is that because they're in the like companion zone or whatever, you can't, you know it's there, but you can't interact with it in any way. If you actually have to pay to get it, but then you can't play it that turn, like Lurus, for example, you pay, let's say it's 3, right? Let's say you pay 3 to get it, and then you play the Lurus. And in order for you to play something from your graveyard, you need to have a lot of mana that turn. So it's possible that you had a turn where you got the Lurus back, but didn't actually deploy it that turn because you really wanted to have the turn where you played Lurus and get a thing back.
Right.
That gives a window of time where your opponent can actually attack your hand. So I think it also puts them on a more level playing field from that perspective too. Like you do have a window of time to try to like memory leak them or like duress them or whatever.
Yeah, that's a really good point. Opening companions up to more counterplay, I think, would be a positive. Up to and including perhaps them going into your opening hand. If you know, like if in the world where you put a card back, I don't think it would be unreasonable if the companion then went into your hand.
Sure. I think that's one of the things. I don't know. I mean, we're not seeing a lot of that stuff get played. Like Memory Leak gets played as a cycler. I don't know that it really gets played as a spell that you cast. Of course, you know, once that creature is guaranteed in your opening hand, maybe you see more discard.
It's a chicken and the egg sort of thing where I think,
it's not,
I think
it doesn't played right now that much because it doesn't really help that much. If it were a case that you could, or like what if the mechanic changes so that instead of the companion being in a companion zone, you just like, if you have it in your sideboard, it just becomes part of your opening hand. Like what if it is just in your opening hand? Then it's something you can actually like dress or memory leak, and that would make, you know, all the discard spells become a lot more played. Like that is something they could do.
Yeah, I duress not the
duress. Yeah.
Okay,
duress,
sure. You know what I meant. Discard spell.
I don't think that it works without you having to put a card back. Otherwise, like if you're on the draw, just having to discard because you have a companion doesn't make any sense. But in the world where you do put a card back, I could see companions going into your hand.
Just going like moving, just like
shrink. Yeah, I mean, it would make sense. You traded a card for a card, now it's in your hand. And then now they can agonize and remorse it, which I think would be upside.
Yeah, and then you hear this complaint too. That's one of the worst things about it, right? It's a guaranteed 3-drop or 5-drop or whatever it is, and there's no way to interact with it until it's on the stack. And so we'd see if the metagame would shift to address that. But I think that opening card, there has to be something about that opening card. I mean, more so than the tax, I think it's got to go after the opening card. That's the one that feels the best to me. In terms of how badly do you want this companion in your deck?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so. that's the harsher measure. That's the one that is going to make it so you're going to see a lot fewer Obashes and Yorians. And you know, if that's the goal, then here's the thing: you get to shoot your shot, right? You get to make companion. You get to, and I would imagine they knew companion was a dangerous mechanic. I would be really surprised if they didn't, because. Putting it out at the power level that, you know, they did, I think was a mistake. But regardless, if you think it's worth shooting the shot, sure. The thing is, when you get to the point where you then have to ban or change something, at that point, you don't really get too much more latitude. At that point, you're like, okay, well, we missed. Now it's time to
play. Yeah. Now we've got to really, really correct it. And they had a whole case study in Hearthstone with what could happen here. So I think they knew they were playing with fire. I think it's okay for them to play with fire. They've got to fix it. I think it's okay to play with fire. You got burned, you know, move on. So besides, you said fires. You think
do we have to touch the oven? You know, I'm just asking.
Hey, they're always cooking something new. You know, and so when you
hey, look, that, I do like risks. New things, and I do like pushing the envelope. It's just there is each additional time you have to go back and ban something. I believe it's even more costly because it further reduces excitement about a new card. Because imagine the next set comes out, you know, Core 2021, and there's this card that looks awesome. How many people are like, well, aren't they just going to ban it? This card looks too good. Like, you wouldn't have thought that 3 years ago when a card came out and looked awesome. You would have just been like, I'm going to buy that card. That card looks incredible.
Right.
Before it goes on my deck. Yeah. And then now it's like, yeah, but what if I wait? It might get banned, you know?
Yeah, that is. I mean, we've talked about that on the podcast a lot. And part of it is the bans do impact consumer confidence, right? It does. I have seen a lot of people mention it, you know, on my stream when they are thinking about buying a deck or like moving into a new format or something. They're like, well, maybe I'll just wait until a new set comes out because really it seems like this card's going to get banned. Whereas before in Standard, it didn't really matter how bad things got. You just wouldn't really assume that anything was going to get banned because there was just no precedent for it. So yeah, it could have been like a busted deck and you were going to play with those cards until rotation happened. Like you would just, and people would call for bans and it wouldn't happen. So that is part of the risk, I think, of like the world we're living in right now.
And Magic's very generational and there's an arena generation and this is the world they know, right? We talk about going years and years without bans and, you know, having a ban be kind of earth shattering, like, oh my gosh, they banned it. That's not a lot of this generation of Magic players. They are used to seeing bans. It's starting to become a way of life. And, you know, how that affects consumer confidence is interesting. I you know, if that's what your expectation is, then yeah, that is not good. For older players, I think what's really starting to hurt our confidence in the game is once you start playing with Oko, you just kind of think to yourself, what's going on here? How did this happen? It's not that you banned a card. It's that you ever printed this card, right?
Yeah.
And even I remember feeling that way about Skullclamp at a certain point, but Skullclamp had its problems. It was never anything like Oko. It just wasn't.
I mean, you know? Skullclamp made a lot of people quit Magic, though. I think that's like a very famous thing.
Well, yeah, I mean, Skullclamp was surrounded by a bunch of other mistakes. And I think that, you know, what you're referring to certainly is one of the more costly eras for Magic.
Yeah, but I mean, I have some kind of bias from playing a lot more then, but Oko just seemed like watching games with it and playing with it. I'm just like, this is ridiculous. It's just insane. I've negated. I don't care what you do. Your strategy is negation.
I mean, to be honest, like the biggest hit that companions have is like they made Magic less fun. They made Magic less replayable. And at the end of the day, like fun does matter. You can have unbalanced formats that are still fun. Companions, like, they really just, I mean, part of the reason I started playing more Pauper this month is because it was a constructed format where there were no companions. And You know, this was before Lurrus got banned in Vintage when 85% of your matches were against Lurrus. Mm-hmm. When you join a standard queue and you're playing against Yorion or Obosh or Lurrus every single round, unless you hit the Team Rec player, like their companions, you know, they have caused some issues. And I think that that it's not a surprise that, well, it's a surprise to me that they're considering or potentially going to change the companion mechanic. That's wild to me. And I'm actually really interested to see what they do. It's not a surprise that there's going to be some action taken of some kind, though.
Yeah, because I think we did assume that there's probably just going to be some bannings. So, yeah, the fact that they're changing mechanic is novel. Is there anything else? So, Gabby, Luis has mentioned he's got an over 50% chance he thinks that fires will get banned. And if I interpret you correctly, Luis, you think maybe, I don't know if it's over 50%, but there's a good chance that either Luca or Agent of Treachery is banned, right? One of those two.
Yeah, I think that's somewhat likely, yes. I don't know if that's over 50%. I think it's pretty bad play pattern. Yeah, I would say it's like a little over 50%.
Gabby, anything else you think needs to get the axe?
So I'm on the same boat as Luis with one thing that that worries me, which is, yes, I think Agent of Treachery should get banned. Like, I would like to see a ban. But I also feel like the Luca problem is just going to be there for the entire time that Luca's around. As long as there are extremely powerful, like, 7 or 8 drops, 9 drops, potentially, that you can cheat out with something like Luca. So that's the part that worries me, right? It's the part that says, well, yeah, get rid of Agent of Treachery and we did it. We fixed the problem. And then the next set comes out and there's, like, an Agent of Treachery, like, card in it that you can cheat out with Luca, and then suddenly we're back in the same spot. So
this is crazy. Are we that afraid of Polymorph? What happened to Magic? Well, worried about Polymorph.
It's Polymorph, but here's the thing. It's repeatable. So when you Polymorph with Luca, they have this now huge problem they have to deal with. But even if they do, you could just Polymorph again next turn probably. Mm-hmm. And there's also a lot more pretty free and easy ways to make creatures than there were before. I think, Gabby, I actually think your point makes a lot of sense. I think I'm leaning towards actually just banning Luca.
Yeah, that's why I was leaning towards the Luca end and not the Agent of Treachery, because it feels like the card is the problem. Like, Luca's causing that problem.
I mean,
Agent of Treachery wasn't breaking standard before all this happened. It was getting play.
Well, here's the thing, though. Once we remove these cards, let's say we ban Agent, we effectively ban Companions. We don't know how good the Winota deck is. It's making some waves right now. It's actually one of the more played decks this week. And the Winota deck is also based on, you know, spitting out Agent of Treachery on turn 3 or 4. So it's possible that Agent of Treachery has to go anyway.
Why don't I just ban everything? Ban Agent of Treachery, ban Winota, ban
Fire Intervention, you know what?
And nerf Companion. I would love it. I'm so for it.
I'm not sure.
I don't think that would be unreasonable, to be honest.
But yeah,
I'm all in.
I do think there's still hesitancy on the part of Wizards to ban one of their new Planeswalkers. One of the marquee Planeswalker, right? Luca is the Oko of this set, right? He's the Oko. He's on all the packaging. He is Ikoria.
But they banned Oko. Companion. Like, we talked about, I remember Eventually. We talked about that. We thought, like, there's no way they're going to ban the headline Planeswalker, the one that's, like, all the story about and is every marketing material. There's no way they banned him. And then, like, sure enough, they banned him because it was that bad. So, like, why not Luca?
They had to. Luca, they can lie to themselves and say, Agent's the problem, not Luca.
I guess, but
you can tell yourself that story.
I just want them to ban everything. I want to see blood.
And I think that was the story they were telling themselves about Oko. And eventually they were like, oh God, okay. I think we just, he's got to go.
It was brutal too, because there was the Field of the Dead ban where everybody was like, you need to ban Oko. You need to ban Oko. Because remember, Oko wasn't getting played during that time because Field of the Dead was better. And everyone's like, no, Oko's going to be really bad once Field is not a popular deck. And once Scapeshift is not doing the thing, you have to ban Oko. You have to ban Oko. And then sure enough, Oko's just a disaster.
I do think there's a world where you could see a ton of bans. You know, to be honest with you, because if they're going to reset standard and with the companion mechanic and they're going to make all these changes, you know, like rip the Band-Aid off. And if you think you need to get rid of Luca and Agent and Fires, I mean, is there anything else? Because I think those three are really it.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think about.
Yorion could be like another ban. They could actually ban Yorion.
Yeah, I think we're kind of setting aside the companion thing for the moment, but I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, let's assume they have something, because like if they just ratchet up the mechanic to a point where they're all unplayable, it's effectively banned, right? So, yeah. I mean, so
that's why I brought up Winota, because mm-hmm. yeah, the agent ban of course addresses that, but you have to always watch out, because when you this is the Simpsons episode where they're like, you know, in order to get rid of the bees, we brought in the squirrels. In order to get rid of the squirrels, we brought in the cats, and we brought in the monkeys, and the sharks. And when you ban whatever the problems are on the surface, mm-hmm. new things do rise up, and in some cases, you're not going to like what those are. So you do kind of have to be forward thinking. It's kind of why in Legacy, Xerda got banned alongside Lurrus, because even though Lurrus was certainly dominating and Xerda was not, I think the assumption was, hey, if we ban Lurrus, Xerda might become a problem. Let's ban them both.
So do you think there's anything else that – I mean, looking at your crystal ball, and you play a lot of standard to write these deep dive decks. Like, does Team Erec take over? I don't think so. But
no, I don't know what's going to take over, but I think the most likely outcome is Companion gets a severe nerf, Fires gets banned, Luka gets banned. That's probably the most likely outcome.
Because Winota's not super stable. It gets played a lot, but it's not – I don't think it's guaranteed. Although I think it did well in the E-League, right? Like Martin was in the finals playing Yorion Bant versus some like a Neoform Winota.
Yeah, that's the new Winota deck that plays Arboreal Grazer is actually kind of perfect for the deck because it speeds you up by a turn and also attacks.
Yep. It buys you a trigger.
There's like a four-color Winota deck that plays, Neoform, Arboreal Grazer, Gilded Goose, and like – that deck looks kind of scary. So I wonder if that deck would be too good if they did ban Luka and not Agent.
Good God. How are we?
What do you think is the most likely outcome? Like, what do you actually?
Yeah.
What does the announcement say next Monday?
I think Fires is out. I think Agent is out. I think they keep Luka because he is the picture playing. So I'm not saying they should, but I think they do keep Luka because there's a lot of stories you can tell yourself about how Luka's not really the problem. And it starts with, is Polymorph really a problem? Right? Like that's like what keeps going through my head here. But I think so. And then with the companion mechanic, I think it's your opening grip is six. I think that's what they'll do.
That you draw seven and put one back.
You know what's funny is
you open set.
I've been mulling this over the whole time because in our show notes this was an example. In our show notes this is written and I just read it as draw six and you got your companion. And Luis is right, like the London Mulligan rules are in effect. But I think they're going to say draw six, no London Mull. You don't draw seven, put one back. I think you draw six and you've got your companion as part of your.
I think that's probably too harsh. I think
too much.
I think the most likely one is put one back from your opening hand.
Okay. I mean, I am super like either way on that one. I don't think it's going to be the tax thing. I think that's very hard to implement for new players to the game, but both of these are going to be very difficult to bring the new players to the game. And I think you have a companion, you draw seven, put one back or whatever, but it basically counts as part of your opening grip is the direction that they are going to go. And I actually think it's the direction they need to go. I think it's the direction they should go in. Mm-hmm. So that's what I think. That's what I think we see. I think is historic part of this. I don't play any historic. So I really.
Historic is part of this.
The announcement is standard and historic formats is what gets named.
I don't know what's. I actually want to know more about historic because it looks like a really fun format and Gruul seems to be really good in it. So I am going to start playing it, but I haven't started yet.
There's a chance that Winota gets banned in Historic. I haven't played much Historic, but all I've heard is complaints about Winota and Historic. So,
wow, okay.
Yeah.
How about you, Gabby? What do you think we're going to see on Monday morning?
I think we're going to see a nerf of Companion. I think the nerf is probably going to be you open seven and put one back. And then mm-hmm. you get to keep the Companion in the Companion zone. Like, I think that's what's going to be for Companion. And then I think we're going to see Fires banned, and I think we'll see like Agent of Treachery banned, and I think Luka's going to stay. But I would like to see Luka gone.
Oh, I'm all for it.
I want to see heads on spikes. I really do.
I'm all for it.
Yeah, so. But I think that's what's probably going to happen is like Agent gets banned, Fires gets banned, and then, you know, Companion gets nerfed and like a less severe version of the nerf, like one where you still, I don't know how likely it is that they do the like pay the thing and then get the card. Cause I do also agree that that's kind of like a hard, it's just like a hard thing to implement and like a change to make. It's a lot easier to just say, not, it's just not an extra card. It's just in your opening hand. And it's like, it has, you know, we talked about the mechanic innate, like it just has innate. It's in your opening hand, essentially.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And I do think one of the things I agree with, I didn't touch on this, but you said this and I agree, is I think it stays in the companion zone. I don't think it comes into your hand. I think it stays in your companion zone.
I also agree with that. It's also just the best floating it around as an idea, because it could be something like that.
If you know your opponent has this, it's better. It's more pleasant for it to just be face up.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
That's true. Because, yeah, no, you're right. If not, you know, like they have it and they just like it is one of their cards still, but you wouldn't you wouldn't know which one it is.
I will say, no matter what, nerfing companion, like I could, depending on what the nerf is, I could see keeping it in the cycling deck. I also think, like, if you didn't have Lurrus, she gives you extra reach. You know, don't get me wrong, but I don't think that ends the deck. I think it's like, okay, well, we just find different ways. And actually probably opens up the sideboard a little bit too, but yeah. So
yeah, whoo, I think we have some predictions for next Monday. It's going to be really interesting to see what they actually do. We're actually going to get to talk about it next Thursday. That's going to be exciting. We'll see. Somebody will get a gold star, maybe, if you properly predicted that. You guys aren't going to bet on it?
I'll give you some action. We just got a 10-1 bets are just hard for me. I mean, I guess if we had a cap on it. Then all I get out of it is 10 bucks.
How about this?
Right?
Next time we're all together, the person who got closest to predicting what actually happens next Monday gets dessert bought by the rest of, by the other two people. How about that? Or like,
how about something really similar, but it's the whole freaking meal?
Yeah, let's do it. Deal.
Okay.
All right.
Including drinks.
All right. We need to pick our arbiter though. When something happens that none of us predicted, we need to pick who decides
who got the closest.
I vote for Raptor.
We can do Raptor.
I think you know what's funny is I was gonna say Raptor too, but now that Luis is nominated Raptor, no, Josh wouldn't play me. Yeah.
Raptor will be. No, he'll be
Raptor. He's fair and balanced, and I've won every bet where he's been the judge. So,
have you talked to Raptor about this? He's not playing enough Magic, maybe, to have input, but he's a great game designer, and it would have been interesting to hear what his thoughts were on how to remedy this situation.
Oh yeah, he said, yeah, you should just ban all the companions.
That's
the companions and look at how these got made.
I mean, it's like that's such an easier solution than what they're proposing. That's why I keep thinking like there's more coming. But okay, on the double masters, did we want to?
Yeah, I mean, I was gonna say we ended up taking up basically the entire podcast to talk about companions. We can go through it real fast. This was meant to be the second part of the podcast, but we just had a lot to talk about with companions.
I think it is the topic. I mean, I was so super excited Luis was on here and purposely did not Slack or message him about what he thought changes need to be made in the companion.
So we could have that conversation here. Yeah.
I was so looking forward to this discussion. So it's a good one to use the time on.
Totally. Well, we'll just go through this one real quick. It was an announcement that happened on the 21st of May. It's a new set called Double Masters. It is set to release on August 7th, 2020. It's 332 cards, 24 packs per booster, 15 cards per booster packs. And the whole like shtick of this set is that it's a master set. So like a modern master set or a Modern Masters 2. And there is going to be two rares and two foil cards per pack. So everything in the set is supposed to be doubled up. So those foils can be up to two additional rares. There's going to be two non-foil borderless showcase box toppers, including with each booster box. And it's going to be available on Magic Online starting August 6th. And this is the kicker. It is $6.99 per booster, which is a lot.
It's a lot of money.
It's a lot of money. And it is not a redeemable set. So announcement went over medium. I think some people were excited about it because people do like the master set. And I think a lot of people had a lot of issues with how expensive it is. What did you guys think about this? Are you excited about this? Are you kind of like tired of the like supplementary products?
Well, first of all, I thought the name, I got super excited when I heard the name and I'm like, oh my gosh, it's a master set that's only legal in like Pioneer and Modern, Double Masters. Turns out I was wrong. So that part was a disappointment for me. When you say, am I looking forward to it? I mean, I'm looking forward to drafting it, and that's it.
I actually like the master set quite a bit. I know there's a lot of, discussion about this one because of the price point, and I certainly do not blame anyone who looks at that price point and is just like, really, another really expensive thing? Like, you know, there's a lot of, is this game for me sort of moments when people look at these. But one thing that's cool about the Masters that's not true of like the Secret Lairs is you could not buy any of the Masters products, and the Masters sets can actually be pretty good for you because it can drive the price down on a lot of desirable cards. Secret Lairs don't really do that. Secret Lairs are just straight up cosmetics. Yes, Secret Lairs can affect prices, but they're in such limited quantities.
They're mostly cosmetics, really. Yeah.
Yeah.
Actually, wait, I'm sorry. Could you brought up Secret Lairs? Can we talk about this like road not taken Secret Lairs?
Yeah, I don't really get that one.
What is going on with that?
Wait, what is that one? I don't even know this one.
It's like Domri Rod is a cowboy, and Vraska is a beauty queen, and Tamio is a detective. You've seen this?
This is the first time I'm hearing of it, I swear.
Yeah,
it's I'm so up to date to Magic News too, but I've not seen this.
I remember I saw it. The way they rolled it out was amazing. They got a bunch of cosplayers to cosplay as these alternate versions of the Planeswalkers, and that was awesome. Respect. But I was knowing there's kind of some weird theme here.
Yeah.
And there's not even a weird theme, just a theme. This one was just the road, not like random different image. I didn't get it. And I didn't know if there was something I missed or something. But
that's pretty random. No, I'm going to have to look it up because I did not know. I had no idea. I actually like Secret Lair birds, though, because I love birds.
Ugh. Secret Lair, the lightning bolt one is sweet. I'm sorry. Some of the art in that one is sweet. That one is sweet. But
basically, like, yes, I like drafting double masters. That's going to be fun. Mm-hmm. But I think that double masters can be cool for folks who even aren't going to engage with the product. It actually can be pretty good for them. Plus, it gets some cool like reprints out there. And I don't know. I think that the master sets tend to be pretty cool. But I can definitely understand everyone who's feeling fatigue. I mean, I'm feeling fatigue even. I don't even buy any of these things about like really they're announcing 5 new secret lairs and new double masters and this and that. And it's just like a lot of stuff.
Here's some advice. Oh, sorry, Masha, go ahead.
Just real quick, not related to this. I agree with Master Sets. I love them. I think they're great. Just everything that Luis said, I think, is spot on. I am a big fan of them. One thing I did ask just from a retailer perspective and a customer perspective, like, should they have held this a little bit? Like, maybe now's not the time to release it. It's semi-premium product. I mean, obviously, there's greater economic consequences and whatever for Wizards of the Coast to do something like that. But I kind of saw it. And I was like, guys, I don't know.
I don't know the time for this right now.
So anyway, I'm sorry, Gabby, what were you going to say?
What was I going to say? Oh, some advice. If you think that you want to, like, you look at the set and you're like, hey, this looks kind of cool, but it's also really expensive. Something you can do is the master sets get put on Magic Online and you can usually draft them for Phantom. So that means you don't get to keep the cards. But a lot of times on Magic Online, you weren't really looking to keep those cards. Like, it can be so much cheaper to just buy the cards from the stores if you want on Magic Online. So when Master Sets come out, one of the things that I like to do is instead of buying, like, the regular booster packs and actually just paying full price for it is I just draft Phantom. Yeah, you don't get to keep the cards, but you actually get to experience the set. And the Master Sets are actually, historically, have been super fun to draft. And even if there's a lot of cards that are reprints, they really like play tested like a full set. Like, it does feel like a brand new set with cool mechanics that are all meant to interact with each other. And you know, Wizards does a fantastic job with that. So if you think, if you look at the price of this and you're like, hey, this is just really not for me, but you are interested in drafting it, like, an easy way to do it could be playing it on Magic Online. Just some advice in case people didn't know.
So any quick hit predictions for cards you expect in Double Masters in this double theme? Like,
we already know doubling season was obviously in it.
They spoiled that at the beginning. I want Splinter Twin. I know they're not gonna print it, but I want Splinter Twin.
What about Kiki Jiki?
I love Kiki Jiki.
Kiki Jiki could be in there. How about a whole cycle of like Morphling, Torchling? You know, because they Brightling, they have like they're like the doubles on there.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, I think they're just gonna. Despite it being double masters, they're just also going to print, like, put Dark Confidant in the set, right?
Right,
like,
of course.
Right.
But there's going to be clone effects. A lot of the master
staples or whatever.
There's going to be, like, body doubles and phantasmal images and stuff like that, I'm sure.
I honestly don't know how much they're going to lean into this theme besides having doubling season in there.
Really? They were, like, throwing it in your face that this is the double set where everything is one, two, bam.
I agree. I think Vesuvian Doppelganger. Actually, that might be a rare, so they can't do it. Clone, like, you already mentioned body double. I could see a lot of those. I do think a few of my, like, picks that I thought, okay, these are going to get in there. Stang. I don't know if he's a rare or not. So I don't know if he. No, I think they've already reprinted him once. So they can reprint Stang. Stang, Kiki Jiki, I've already said. Half
they
Dane.
They said not fetch lands.
They did specify not fetch lands, yeah.
Oh, God. They are so afraid of fetch lands, but I mean, why not? We don't want them in standard.
No, I mean, if I could delete one class of card, like not just one card, I think I would just make it so fetch lands never got printed.
You know, I mean,
Fetchlands wasted so much time.
That's what it is.
All these people have to shuffle.
It's just the shuffle time.
Yeah. If you look at a modern tournament, all you see is people
shuffling. If it was online only, it'd be fine. People I think shuffling. Fetchlands are very powerful, but like, that's fine. They're just good lands. But it's in paper, like when you play a modern tournament and, you know, by round three, you've spent 15% of your time shuffling. Like that's just.
When you walk around, that's all you see is people shuffling. People just shuffling. Yeah.
Ooh, sorry. Just because you mentioned mechanic you want to ban. Bigger mistake, Phyrexian mana or companions?
Companion. Wow, Phyrexian mana is really bad, but companion is much worse.
Gabby, are you on the same?
You know, I actually started on the Phyrexian mana side of it, and I was talked into the companion. Yeah, we had this discussion. We had it with Raptor.
Wow.
Yeah.
I just thought of it right now, so I want to process that. Wow. I mean, I you know.
Yeah, take some time to think about it because really I started off like you and I was like, obviously it has to be Phyrexian mana. And then I thought about it some more and it was like, no, actually, yeah, I think I'm on the companion side.
Good God. I'll run a Twitter poll. When we release this, I'll run a Twitter poll.
Yeah, let's do it. We can come back with what the Twitter poll
results we'll get some
next week.
Nice empirical evidence.
I like it.
Because I think regardless of what's right, I think, there'll be recency bias saying companion. I was going to say the Twitterverse will say Phyrexian mana, but recency bias might push us towards companion no matter what. I'm not saying it's wrong, but.
I mean, I was playing tournaments when Phyrexian mana came out. It didn't ruin everything. It wasn't good, but it didn't ruin everything.
Companion
kind of ruined everything.
Yeah.
Well, the thing is, like, companion made games less fun. That doesn't mean it's a worse mechanic. I mean, it's worse for the game. Worse for the game, no question. Right? Unfun is the
I mean, if you just want to look at the mechanic and not the effect it had, I think that these are actually a bit closer because I think Phyrexian mana is a particularly bad design, but the way the mechanics played out, companion had much, much more damage.
Yes, yeah, I agree with that.
Plus, you're asking, you have to design cards for Phyrexian mana, you have to design cards for companion, which on balance will be generally worse. I think that the Phyrexian mana in some ways has less room to be good than Companion does. Companion could actually be really good.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
Just not with the cards they made.
Right. I mean, you could cheat with Phyrexian mana where it's one
Phyrexian mana. Yeah, sure. It can be either way. I think that if you're just fundamentally from like a game design perspective, I guess I think Phyrexian mana is worse than Companion. From what actually ended up happening, Companion had a much worse effect.
Yeah, that's fair.
I feel like we got there. Phyrexian mana is worse. So... Gabby, by the way, we'll close on this, but by the way, we did a top 8 cyclers and I resolved not to mention cantrips at all. And I didn't, but Luis brought it in.
Oh, God, I was about to say, cantrips. I'm so
proud. Okay, in my defense, I didn't do it to as a jab. It wasn't on purpose. I wasn't trying to incite the whole discussion again.
It's so hard to believe that. It's so hard to believe that.
No,
I didn't even think about it. I just talked about it.
I actually told myself, Mosh, don't do it. Just don't even open it up. And we're like halfway through. It's like, well, a cantrip. And I was just like, really, dude? Really? Wow. Okay. Unbelievable. All right. Well, on that cheery note, thank you so much, Luis. Despite what I say, he is a very special guest, one of the most special guests. Thank you for joining us and bringing that game designer philosophy. Everyone knows Luis is a top flight Magic Hall of Famer, but he's a game designer too. And the kind of your perspective on that, not only being a great Magic player, but having that game design background is invaluable for discussions like this. So thanks for joining us.
Yeah. And always love being on.
It's awesome. Yeah. And I know, Gabby, you probably heard all of this already. So thanks for going through it again so that I could hear it and so that everyone else could hear it as well. We all appreciate it. So until next week, thank you to all of you for joining us. Thanks again. 100,000 downloads. That is unbelievable. And obviously, that's all of you listening to us. So thank you so much. If you want to support the podcast, you go to channelfireball.com, sign up for CFB Pro or buy anything. Enter the code Gabby, G-A-B-Y. That supports this podcast. That supports all of Gabby's great content. So please be sure to do that. You can find her on social media at Gabby Sparts. You can find her on Twitch, twitch.tv/Gabby Sparts. You can find us on channelfireball.com or on youtube.com/channelfireball, where we have the live video. You can find us on Twitter at Magic FM Podcast. Luis, as I'm sure you all know, is at LSV on Twitter. I am at Moshi Scanlon on all social media platforms. And that does it. We are out of time. So until next week, be wonderful to yourselves and be wonderful to each other.
Bye-bye.